We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. We've been yelling about it with our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to have some great guests. I'm working things up on the peninsula in my homeland to kick things off at Costas on the 9th. The Baltimore Orioles, the under new management, Baltimore Orioles are taking on the Boston Red Sox to probably frigidly freeze at Fenway Park on Tuesday the 9th. On Friday the 12th, Brewers come to town without Corbin Burns. And we're going to be down at Fadley's from 2 until 5 live. Nasty, you ain't on live anymore. I'm live 2 to 5 at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Each and every Friday that the Orioles are home, Luke's going to join me from 2 until 3. And then from 3 until 5, we're going to have guests who are probably going to show up late because of traffic. I'm probably going to have to go to the bathroom, but I'm going to have a great crab cake, ice cold beer, and Oriole baseball. So we'll be doing that. And we're at Coco's on the 18th, and we're going to be back at Fadley's on the 26th. So there's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour for the month of April, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and Liberty Pure Solutions. I'm really looking forward to this piece. And this is a guy that I'm going to, you know, we're going to do 20, 30 minutes here and hang out. But he's a guy that should be having crab cakes with me. He's sort of the original Baltimore Positive dude who I met through Free the Birds. Because on the other side of Free the Birds, he was the documentarian. And part of this is that I'm doing a 25th anniversary documentary. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. Big shout out to Greg Landrieu over at Blue Rock Productions and Towson Transfers, my lifer pal, who's helped me with this crazy project, as well as all my crazy narrators like Gina Schock and John Allen and Mike Brillhart and Mickey Coachella and Keith Brewer. And I know I just left somebody out. Oh, Ray Bachman. How could I leave him out? This guy here did a video the day after Free the Birds that WBAL didn't do, WJZ didn't do. It was a very, very, very early part of this thing called YouTube, which I thought was spelled U, T-U-B-E, but it turned out it's U, like my friend Mark Brudinski's U Matter movement. We welcome one of the defending champions of all things Baltimore, Greg Abel, back onto the program. It's been a long, long time. I know we've meandered. I follow you. You know, there were times where I, you know, was a little too dirty around the Orioles to be fumigated from the social media communications world. But I'm still here and you're still here. Well, and the video still exists right out there. Twisted Sister. We're not going to take it, right?
Yeah. Well, that got taken down and put back up for some reason. But yeah, Free the Birds. First of all, thank you for having me, Nestor. It's a pleasure to be with you. I've enjoyed watching what you've created with, you know, Baltimore Positive and all the new initiatives you're doing and kind of evolving with the times, social media, with video, with, you know, we all do what we do, but then, you know, the way the world works changes and we adapt with it. And you've done that. And it's been interesting to watch. So congratulations on that.
And thank you.
I think Free the Birds, just to talk about that for a moment, was such a moment, and it was sort of a clandestine moment for some, because obviously the Orioles didn't want to talk about a couple thousand fans walking out in the fourth inning of a game. It was in September during yet another losing season. And for those who might need a refresher, Nestor organized a walkout of an Orioles game among fans who were fed up with the direction the franchise was headed. And I was one of those people who showed up. And just because I'm wired this way, I've been running a public relations firm for 15 years. I come from journalism and PR. I brought a camcorder, not an iPhone, mind you, but a camcorder. And walked around.
It had
around
limited battery, is what you're telling me. It didn't have tape in it? It didn't have tape, did it?
It had a mini DV tape.
It wasn't digital. It wasn't a hard drive.
No.
You had to literally pull tape out, and we were still in that era? Wow, okay.
Mini DV. You remember that?
It's, yeah, you know, yeah. Greg Landrieu will know. Believe me, he's got all those formats over there.
And I have it in a bag here somewhere labeled Free the Birds. I could give you the raw if you really wanted it. And so
I would post that in a heartbeat, brother. I would. I'm proud of Free the Birds, Greg Abel. I'll have you know.
I mean, that's one of your signature moments. And so I love being a part of it because I've been an Oriole fan my whole life and everybody was upset at what was going on. And here was this community and media personality saying, you know, we've had it. Let's walk out. And, you know, in the movie version of this, Nestor, all the other fans would have gotten up and walked out with us, right? There are a few other thousand fans there, but we marched out And it was a moment, and I was happy to be part of it. And I still think it's one of the things that you can look back on in your career as defining as someone who wasn't willing to take it at a time when that needed to be said.
Well, I'm going to try to get Dee Snider on because they're playing M3. I'll see if John Allen or somebody at the M3 at Meriwether Gene or somebody can arrange that, because I interviewed him a long, long time ago. But can you give me the inspiration for making the movie? Because I had a few people come up to me in the end when it was the day after, including Steve Bisciotti. Steve Bisciotti cornered me on the field in Owings Mills and said, "That was really tastefully done. You sent the message." Like, that's literally what he said to me.
Really?
And last
wow.
week he walked off a veranda running from me with Eric DaCosta. It's just strange. And he hasn't been seen. He doesn't have, you know, the media, he doesn't meet with the media, like all of that since Ray Rice. And these franchises, right, are worth $5-7 billion, the football side. The baseball franchise sold for $1.7 billion. And I honestly started to do the math on this, because when I wrote the Peter Principles, and it happened about 6-7 years after Free the Birds, about 12, 13, 14, I was writing this book. And a lot of people talked to me. I mean, everybody talked to me, and they told me everything that there was to know about money. Peter put a lot of money into the team. Like, when we did the walkout on him, he was a good $75 million upside down into putting money into Jeff Conine, David Segee, like money that the franchise was not throwing off pre-Masson, right? So there's a lot of things I learned as a journalist that it wouldn't have given me pause for him to not pay his bill with me in 2004. And like John's involvement and the crazy thing with the bird soaking, and like, all, I mean, just, they did awful stuff to me and my company, and just like, really, they did awful stuff. But I'll say this, that Free the Birds thing that you remember as everybody would have gotten up and walked out.
Yeah.
The moment that that happened, we came down the back way. And I don't know if you were planning on making a video or not. Like, you took your camcorder. I don't know what possessed you to stay up all night taking DV tape and mixing down a Twisted Sister
I can
video.
Tell you.
Like,
Yeah.
I want to hear that, because I don't really
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you,
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons it really made real headlines, because we were up in the upper deck chanting and we had a good time.
It
we
was
had a good
fun.
time. We rooted for
well,
the Orioles
fun
and every
about
good
it was
bat.
like,
Yeah.
we were all thinking to ourselves, well, this is what it should feel like at an Oriole game. You're around other real fans, and you're cheering, and you're shouting, and you're feeling it, and you're excited because you're building up to a moment. And you also wanted the Orioles to do well. I mean, none of us who walked out that day were doing it because we didn't love the Orioles. We did it because we did and do love the Orioles and what they mean. And I'll tell you, you asked, well, why'd you do that? I mean, I come from journalism like you. I mean, my first jobs were as a sports editor of a weekly paper. I was a reporter at the Baltimore Business Journal before I got into sports marketing and public relations. And so I'm just wired that way, Nestor. Maybe like, you know, I go to an event, I go to a family event, and I bust out the camera. I start interviewing my family, and I'll spend a half hour later and then send a funny like recap of, you know, my nephew's birthday party, just because it's just what I like doing. And so that day I was like, I'm going to document this, because I didn't think I'm taking the place of channel 11 or 13 or 2 or 45. I just felt to myself like I wanted this. And I had played around at that time. I was doing some freelance video production work, so I knew how to cut video, for lack of a better word. So you had to take, you know, that camera plugged into the computer. I had a Mac at home. You know, I didn't use Final Cut. I used iMovie. But you could splice and add music and do all the things.
You inspired me. Can I just tell you that? Because when you did that video, about 8 months later, a neighbor of mine who was in law school brought me an Apple computer, a little Apple computer. And she said, dude, this is going to help you move into the new era. And it's when I really created WNST.net in the aftermath of all of that. And all the Free the Birds information came at me on the web. The web was an awful, awful place in 2002, 3, 4, 5 for someone like me on radio, and the Baltimore Sun message boards and lies and just junk, just awful. My wife is a target, just awful stuff happened. But the internet awakened me, and I became an iMovie HD. I mean, I went to school for corporate communication. I was a runner for Scott Garceau at Channel 2. I mean, I don't even have that in the documentary that I did 6 months at Channel 2 with Jim Hawes and Keith Mills and like all those people.
Things are formative, aren't they? Like,
well, the newspaper side of me is where every night I hear Frank Wooten and Ron Wenig and Stan Rappaport and Jack Gibbons in my ear when I edit Baltimore Positive, which, if you look at it, it feels like the Baltimore News American come to life 40 years later in real time, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, before I got the job at the Business Journal, I had just a freelance job right out of college, rewriting wire copy for the newscast for WJZ on TV Hill. And in that newsroom was the legendary Al Sanders and Denise Koch, who's still there. And my cousin, Mitch Friedman, shout out Mitch, who helped me get the job, who's now the EVP and has been for years. I would always call it JZ or Channel 13, but those people did their work with such professionalism and pride that it couldn't help but rub off on at a young age. And the other thing it did was you realized the people you saw on TV were just human beings who happened to have these TV jobs, right?
That was the wonderful part of being 15 and at a Skip Jack's press conference is there's Chris Thomas, there's Jack Dawson, who I still never talked to because I was intimidated by their greatness. You know what I mean? Like,
You thought they were on a plane.
Yeah, a kid in the 70s or 80s when Marty Bass or Bob Turk came and played basketball at Halliburton Middle, it was a big deal. It was a big – Jerry Turner was a legend here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So was Al Sanders. And you know, I will say this about, like, bringing it back to the Free the Birds. It's just you're documenting a thing that you think is important or interesting or fun or funny or whatever the thing is. You know, I think that's why I've gotten into communications as a career. I like connecting people. I like telling stories. I like remembering things that I think are meaningful and important to share. And so those were all sort of the reasons why it came together for me. And it wasn't my moment. It was really yours. And Baltimore's in a way, like kind of like it was almost like the come to life version of your radio. Like, it must have been gratifying for you because these were your people and they showed up for you that day.
Well, the documentary that I'm doing is called No One Listens, Everyone Hears. And that's been the story of 30 years of doing this. And Greg Abel's our guest. I didn't really want to go down the Free the Birds. But what I was going to say to you is I made that point, that pivot we came down, and I looked over at the section in left field, and there were 1,200 people behind me that Dave Ginsberg then called 600 or whatever. And I read him. I went nuts for like how I said, you should have been counting heads because I did. I was up there. I have video cameras. You're not going to tell me it was a little gathering of 200 people because it wasn't. Right. So I'll even burr up 18 years later about that. But I got down to that foyer behind left field and there was one usher and 1,200 of us. And I'm like, I'm walking in there. And Schmuck was standing there and I walked right at Schmuck and I walked into the alcove. And then we walked into the bowl of the stadium. But, dude, that was not in any way premeditated. Like, I had no idea it was going to happen. But I think that was made it the most effective. That's what made it look like a movie when ESPN showed 1,200 people trailing through the bowl of the stadium walking through, right? Like, that was the image that I didn't even – To your point, you can bake something up and the weather can screw it up or whatever. And then the other part of it was he threw me out. It's been 18 years, which is really why I brought you on, which was really a celebration of the fact that we've lived through this. This team's very good. And what I want to talk to you about, and I really, because our time's a little short because of the window we're in, I want to have you for a real crab cake and really do nuts and bolts on where do we go from here? And I don't want to get too Mork and Mindy on it or, you know, what have we learned here? But you get a new guy and with a lot of money. He's got Cal Ripken. He's got our support just because – he's got our support just because he's not Peter, right? Like, he's got 5 minutes to, like, you know – show everything and everybody. It starts with my press pass. And I talked to them last week about like, hey, look, man, I want to help you. I wanted to help the other guy, but like, look at the track record of everything, the totality of Peter and where you are and these empty ballpark this week after opening day. There's so much, as Deepak Chopra would say, pure potentiality here. And I really want to pick your brain because you love the Orioles more than anybody, which goes back to the video and free all that stuff. But here we are, and I want to go to games with you, and I want to love the team, and I want them to love us. Sure. But so how can they do that?
Well, look, it starts with the product on the field, and that's a very good product right now. I mean, we had a really fun season last year. You know, even though ownership didn't change until the off season, this has been building for some time. And, you know, Michael Elias and his team have put together a really strong product, right? And they did it from the ground up. They had to rebuild the farm system. They built the baseball center in the Dominican, and then they drafted well, and they're developing players well. And now the guys showing up to play on the field are people who now have jerseys that if you go online, you can buy. Like, I remember 3 years ago, I have two boys. They're 16 and 19 now, but at the time they were both like middle school and high school. And I was like, yeah, who's, they wanted to get a jersey. Whose jersey are we going to buy? Well, like 4 years ago, it was, I think the only jersey that was even on sale in, on any of sort of the reputable sites was, I think, Mullins. And it wasn't even like plentiful. Like there weren't any, like there wasn't a player to be excited about. You knew Adley was coming. You hadn't heard of Gunner yet. You know, now we have other guys like Westberg and like Grayson Rodriguez, who are all like this young group of exciting players. So for any fan of any age, but particularly for young people who are the future of the fan base, there are a group of young guys who are kind of cool and exciting to watch, who you can idolize, for lack of a better word. They're our Cal and Eddie. I grew up loving Eddie Murray, loving Cal Ripken. Jim Palmer, Brooks Robinson, going back a little further. And so, like, there weren't guys like that for a big block of time. I mean, you had players, right? And you had some of those guys had a good season here or there. You had Brady, you know, there was the time in 96, 97, we were good. And there was Palmeiro and Roberto Alomar. But there was a wasteland between that and then when Manny showed up. And so I think what's happening now is, the difference between this ownership group and the past was, I think in the past, we got to this point, right, where you have a core group of really good players who are going to be exciting to watch for years. But in the past ownership group, in the back of your mind was like, this is this little window of hopefully 3 years, four maybe, when we'll be able to keep good players because they're not going to re-sign them. The next contract that Adley's going to sign is going to be with somebody else. Same thing with Gunner. Now, you have a different feeling. You have the feeling that maybe we can keep a group of stars together and pay them when they need to be paid. And that's different.
All right. So paying the players, Greg Abel Communications is here. And tell everybody what you do just in the middle of this. The strategic marketing communications is what I would say at that, but I don't give your elevator speech.
No, it's fine. Thank you. I run Abel Communications. We're a public relations firm. So we work mostly with businesses to help them get the word out about their people and products and services. And we do that through media relations and social and digital marketing programs. So I've been doing work like that for 18 years here in this market. And even before then, I've been here in Baltimore. And so we have a team. We're based in Mount Vernon and always been based in Baltimore City. One of the hallmark things I do with my team from a culture perspective is close the office on opening day. We go downtown, we pregame. Then we go to the game, and I've always made kind of Baltimore and loving and supporting Baltimore a part of the agency. And so we also look for clients who feel that way. Not always, it's not always the thing, but it's a nice thing to be a part of if you can help to tell a story that improves the narrative around Baltimore.
Well, I've been trying to do that via Baltimore Positive for a number of years now. You know, it started as sort of a little bit of a thought to run for political office to fix the city. We're in the middle of the election cycle. We'll be talking about all of that. I think of you as an entrepreneur and a business guy. I know your brother, who I did some legal work with. I mean, you're Baltimore institutionally connected as a person. I think your LinkedIn and my LinkedIn, as we link over, we could probably find everybody on a text, you know, right from the governor straight on through, right? So I would just say, from the business side of this, your dream of signing Rutschman, Henderson, Holiday, giving them all market contracts and keeping them all here and having the Orioles have a payroll of, let's say, $180 million. And I'm just saying, like they're
yeah.
not $300 million, but like not we're a poor little franchise, poor pitiful me, which
Right,
the
pick
Angelos
one and the
family
rest go
did
away.
forever while they scammed the mass in money. And like I could say I could write a book. I did. I've written several books about this. So, you know, I'm a pretty good historian about all the, where the money went. Now I look at it and say, okay, new guys are in, billion seven in, everything smells good, everything's cool. How do they now do business differently? Whether it's TJ Brightman and Greg Bader, whether it's a new team, whether, I mean, the Ravens have the same challenges with Sashi Brown. The Ravens have $10 tickets most days and empty seats in the upper deck that they can't give away when the weather's not perfect. And Sashi doesn't sit in front of people. They're not really out in front in the way that David Modell and Art Modell and PSLs, of which I was a guy who sold them. The Orioles have a different value proposition. And I think through BAM, through media, through whatever Masson's going to be and whatever regional sports is going to be, and we certainly know whatever the Banner, the Sun, whatever these WBAL, whatever traditional media looks like, they are going to have a completely different model. They're getting $600 million. So what are we going to do with that? How do we
Right, that's a big
maximize
deal.
that? Where's gambling on all of this? So these are the things, if I'm sitting with David Rubenstein, I'm talking to him about it. But more than anything, it's Greg, you love baseball. I love baseball. I didn't give the old man money before, obviously. Would I give them money now? Sure. Do I expect my press pass back? Yes, I actually do, because I've earned the right to have my media pass. And if they don't give me that, fair enough. But it's going to be really hard for me to be reaching for my checkbook and saying I'm getting treated fairly, or they're doing things differently in any way. And I've read all the stipulations too, which, you know, I own a radio station. I'm on the air every, you know, so like I do business with the federal government and have for 25 years. I'm a pretty honorable citizen, decent guy. So if that doesn't happen, but considering everything's perfect, Cal, this, that, I give them money. I join the Orange Club at $1,400 a year. I get the television thing. I get a jersey. I get discounts on Squire's Pizza and Ekman Food, which is delicious. They put beautiful things in the state. If everything goes perfectly, they need to generate the kind of revenue that I just talked about at the beginning, which is our dream, right? Which is Corbin Burns gets a 4-year deal
Well,
for $140 million, and
right.
Grayson turns out, and we just win three championships the next 7 years, and the place is packed. It better be at their price,
Right.
whatever their price point is, $15 beers, Gucci this, club level that, suite sales this, marketing that. You know, like it's got to be that. It's got to be robust for them to be able to really compete and keep these players. It does.
I think so. And they're on the right path. I mean, think of it this way. They just got here. They've already done a few symbolic things. You know, I'm in the PR business. Well, what did they do on opening day? The ownership group went out to the bar in center field and bought a round. I mean, just that is so different than past ownership, just being a part of the fan experience. And last night I'm watching the game, and yes, the crowd was light, but you have to give them a pass. I mean, it's, you know, 45 degrees and raining on a Tuesday night
Oh, my
against
wife
Kansas
said to me,
City.
would you go? And I'm like, you know, I don't know if they put a $5
No.
ticket thing on at 5 o'clock, whether people would even like, even for, I don't
No,
know,
it
but
was not a.
that's not their value proposition. I think their
No,
value
no.
proposition has become buy a month, come down, hang out in the outfield and drink beer and sit on the lawn at Merriweather. I think that's going to be, and make sure you're watching the game at home when you're not here, you
I
know?
think that's how they're going to bring in the younger fans, the young adult fans. You know, the families, the people who have younger kids are going to want to come out because they're going to want to give them that ballpark experience and kind of, you know, put the Orioles in their blood the way it is with some older folks. And, you know, the Orioles lost a generation of fans, I think, in the 14 consecutive losing seasons that took place from like 99 to, what was it, 2003 or 4, because it was just, excuse me, 2004,
12.
12, right? It was like 99 to
98 to
12.
12, really. Yeah,
Yeah,
they
and
stunk.
so I have nephews and nieces who were born in like 99, and growing up, the Orioles were just bad, and so people didn't go, and it didn't become part of them, and so that's kind of rebooting right now, right? That's a really
There's
good
also
thing.
lacrosse here. So if I was going to talk to David Rubenstein about that, lacrosse is a huge issue here, and it's one or the other for a lot of families and a lot of people. It really is, especially if your kid's committed to playing, boy or girl.
And I would say this, Nestor, as we think about the future of the franchise and the era we live in. You know, we're having this conversation on Zoom, and kids these days, not just kids, everyone has a lot of options when it comes to entertainment. Everything's on demand, everything's in your hand. You don't have to get in your car and drive downtown, find parking, buy a ticket, buy food. It's an expensive, time-consuming proposition. So as much as lacrosse is a competitor, so is the television, so is everything else you can do. And that has changed a lot too. And so we have to recognize the moment we're in. We're not seeing ballparks being built now with 60,000 seats. We're seeing ballparks that are smaller and they're more kind of compact and sort of intimate. And it's intentional because I don't think these franchises think the days of the Orioles when the stadium opened, it was packed every single night are coming back. And that isn't because the Orioles aren't good now. It's because the world has changed.
Well, then their model has to change, and how
Yes,
much money
that's
they're
right.
going to get from the people who are engaged, which is way different than the spigot of cable television that just threw money at them at Peter's people. This is the new era, and we got regional sports networks going upside down. I had Barry Bloom on this week talking about that. I talk about this stuff all the time because now that. And by the way, I have this bottle of, I got this at Drug City. It's The Prisoner. This is a beautiful wine. It's like a 92 pointer, way above my pay grade. But I got this and I haven't opened it yet. When I get my media credential back, I'm going to open it because The Prisoner will be released. But like, I keep thinking of this like organic thing that they have the opportunity to do here. But we keep talking about like smaller stadiums, smaller this, smaller that. It cost a lot of money to go down to the point of how bad the weather was. And then I said to my wife, I'm like, it cost a lot of money. And then you have a bad experience when it's cold. It's no way to have a great experience at a baseball game when it's cold, but they're asking the same price. And I just think that there's this club they're going to create that's going to want to really be the next thing that we're familiar with season tickets, right? Like literally, right?
But if you really wanted to go last night, you could have gone on StubHub and sat downstairs for $11. Like, you just need there is an aftermarket, so
Sure.
the market corrects for that. But if you bought a 20 whatever game plan and that was one of your games, you're not even stuck with the ticket. You can go and
You
exchange
swap
it.
out, right? Yeah, I mean
Yeah, so
they've done. Listen, the game's 2.5 hours now. They start at 6:30. They've listened to their fans. I mean, as a sport, they have not locally here, but like this group has such a potential to rock this thing, and I'm pulling for them. I want them to do
Yeah, same
everything
here.
right. I really do.
Yeah, and also, and Nestor, we're in a moment in Baltimore with the bridge collapse and with some eyes on this city, and these next few years are really important for the city, how we respond to a tragedy. And I think institutions like the Orioles that are emblematic of our city are very important in this moment to conduct themselves in a way that people can be proud of. And I think that that goes across not just the sports teams, but the business community as well. So I'm excited to be a part of that and hopefully be a part of a solution around here. And I appreciate the work you're doing as well.
Well, come get a crab cake and bring me the plan on fixing the Orioles. You know what I mean? Like, that's really
They're doing
where it is.
it. They're
Well,
doing
no,
it.
I mean, it's interesting to see all the directions they could go in that I really want to pick the brain of people like you in a bigger way. I'm sorry we talk so much about Free the Birds, but it has inspired me to get Dee Snider on. So,
Happy to
if Dee
help.
Snider comes on the program, it's because of you, and you did inspire me and so many more than you know. So I just want to give you
Thanks.
some real
Same.
love because I learned from people who do things like what you did after what I did 18 years ago. And we're still friends, sort of,
Yeah,
maybe.
right back at you. Well, thanks so much, Nestor. It's a pleasure.
Ice cold refreshment. Ain't the beer cold. We'll get a beer in the at Camden Yards this year, all right?
I'm in.
You got it. Greg Abel, Abel Communications. Go find him out on the interwebs and the LinkedIns and the socials. He's a good man. He's a local guy, and he loves the Orioles as much as I do, and crab cakes as well. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive with awesome people.